Certainly appreciate the message of Elder Fuller and Elder Phelan this morning. Hope you'll continue now to pray for Elder Guy Hunt. And we don't have service this afternoon, so we want Brother Hunt certainly to feel very free concerning the time.
Appreciate the messages that we've heard since I've been here. I enjoy going to meetings like this and being able to hear so many different gifts and be able to take so many notes. There'll be people at home will hear a lot about what you've heard about because, as Elder Harold Hunt said, I borrow a lot of things from folks, and I don't apologize for it. The Bible teaches us that it's more blessed to give than to receive, and that's something that we need, oftentimes we remember about ministering. And I'll just say this, and then I'll leave that, that if you're blessed to minister, then you need to have the grace to be ministered to. A lot of folks, they just won't hardly let you do anything for them. Won't let you minister to them, you know. If you do something they got to do, they feel so bad, you know, that they just got to do more for you. But the hardest thing I found as a young minister was to take a substantial donation from a widow woman. And I never will forget one time that Helen and I were struggling and rearing our children with all the expenses there was. A little 91-year-old sister who was then not able to go to church and only receiving a little bit each month. And we got a letter from her one day, a letter of encouragement, and in that letter was a $50 bill. It kept us to buy groceries that week. But I learned that if someone wants to give something, someone wants to do something for you, the Lord's placed it upon their heart, you receive that with grace. And I just like to say that because I've seen a lot of good church members who have a hard time receiving something with grace. You won't hurt somebody's feelings. You won't really strike them down, just refuse something that the Lord's placed on their heart to do to you or for you. A lot said about Brother Lawrence and Sister Karen, and I'll have to say I knew them back when they were really young. I still consider them young. First met them up in the state of North Carolina, and Brother Ronald was serving Gift Church at the time, and they'd had great prosperity that year, and I was there visiting the association and was greatly impressed with him and with his family, and became great friends with especially his father, one of the finest men, level-headed men that I'd ever met, and would well advise people to take advice from him. Did advise a young minister leaving our country to go to Brother Stokes Lawrence, and I said, I don't know the situation there, but he'll tell you. He told me later, years later, he says, the best advice you ever gave me. So I do appreciate Brother Ronald and Sister Karen and their family and what a wonderful job they've done rearing their family. But I'd like this morning to begin with a verse of Scripture, some scriptures, several verses from the 19th chapter of the book of Luke. And said, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Seems like we heard that language quite often in the Scripture. But Zacchaeus, as the Scripture has told us, was a rich man, chief among the publicans, chief tax collector. And naturally, everybody, no matter if he had rightfully earned it, And he says that he told the Lord that I give half my goods to the poor. I'm sure that many people felt that he had wrongfully attained that. That's the reason they considered him to be such a sinner. He was a thief. Considered the publicans to be thieves. Several things I think is important for us to understand as we begin to look at this. Seemed like he had everything going against him. If you were trying to enter into society or trying to get next to some great leader, the president, the prime minister or something, you wouldn't start out with a bad reputation to start with. People say, well, he's nothing but a sinner. He's bad. And he was little of stature. And there was a press, which meant that there was going to be a lot of people, and he wasn't going to be able to see the Lord anyway. So it seemed like everything was going against him that day. I don't know how many of you have been in a great press. Many of you have been, I'm sure, have been to ball games. I've been to a few. But the greatest press I was ever in was the inauguration of a president. And Helen and I had tickets. They were special tickets, you know. I thought when you looked at the ticket that you're going to be up pretty close, that you'd be able to see well. Well, you can imagine if you were in a space of a land of about 300 acres and you're on the backside of it, you know, you don't see very well. In fact, I eventually put Helen up on my shoulder so she could just see the silhouette of the president being sworn in. So it seemed like that day everything was going against us, and so it was with Zacchaeus. I mean, here's a little fella. You know, I'm just a runt. You know, a lot of folks that's little, they feel very self-conscious about it. I've known a lot of little people that I thought were very wonderful and great talents. So I think whatever the Lord's blessed you with, you be thankful for. He's blessed you with 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, or 7 feet. You might complain more with 7 feet because you're going to bump your head more. But we need to be thankful for what God gives us. But he was little of stature. Now, I don't know whether you've ever climbed a sycamore tree or not, but I can just see. Can you imagine a rich man going up a sycamore tree? You'd think, well, surely he'd get some of his underlings to build him a platform or something, because he already knew the Lord was coming that way that day. Now, that would be, I could imagine these young men. I can imagine when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 years old, going up a sycamore tree. I wouldn't have thought anything about it. You know, be small, say, well, I want to see this. But here's a rich man. Here's a fellow that was, everybody knew who he was. And can you just imagine him going up a sycamore tree? I don't know whether he had on a five-piece or 10-piece or three-piece suit or tie or whatever, but I could just imagine he wasn't dressed like ordinary folks, and here he was climbing up a sycamore tree. And here the Lord came by and said he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, come down. Now, the first thing I'd want to know if I was up a sycamore tree and the Lord came along and said, Zacchaeus, come down, said, guy, come down. I said, well, how'd he know my name? I don't have any indication here that anybody said, was standing by the Lord, said, look, there's Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree. I believe the Lord knew his name. And did you know that we're taught in the scripture that the Lord knows our name? No, nobody has to acquaint the Lord with us. Now, we may think sometimes, well, I'm just a poor little farm boy or little city girl, even grew up on the wrong side of the railroad track, so to speak. Grew up poor, and what am I? But you know, if the Lord knows our name, we're special. It's a special thing. You know, I even believe the Bible to teach us the Lord knew our name before our parents gave us one. I believe the Lord knew our name because the Bible tells us that grace was treasured in Christ before the world was for us. That means we existed in the mind and purpose of God. That means that we were beings in the mind and purpose of God before the world was. And so not only did he know Zacchaeus' name when he came along there, nobody had to introduce him to him, but I believe he had known Zacchaeus' name a long, long time before. And you know, the Lord knows, the Bible tells us that he knows those that are his. But the message I would really like to get into today, because I think, in connection certainly with what we heard last night about individuals who just thought they were pretty well off in life, I thought everything was going pretty well. I think sometimes that we as the children of God get to feel like everything's going along pretty well. We believe in the doctrine of grace. We believe by the grace of God we'll live with God in heaven after a while. So we'll just sort of float along as we journey along the road of life. I believe that's what the Bible teaches us when we're taught in the book of Revelation about that church. It was lukewarm. There was a group of people that said, we're rich and increased with goods. They believed they had everything they stood in need of. The Bible says, and you know not, that you're naked and wretched and poor. You know, it's good to recognize our condition. Zacchaeus at least recognized that he was short and he wasn't going to see the Lord, or didn't think he was going to see him if he stood out there in the crowd. And he couldn't even see over the front row in front of him, much less a bunch of rolls as they were lined up on either side. He at least knew his condition, but he climbed that sycamore tree, and here the Lord not only knew who he was, told him to come down, they must abide with him that day. Now, I think that we need to understand just how much the Lord knows about us. I think we ought to understand that he knows our every thought, and he knows our need, even before we open our mouth. And I try to pray a lot of times, as these other ministers do, for the large people. And I always know the reason I'm confident in going to the Lord is that I know the Lord knows before I open my mouth what that individual needs. Tried to pray for a little sister in intensive care unit a few days ago there in Birmingham. The last prayer I said for her, and I reached over and kissed her on the forehead, and the next day she died. But my prayer was to the Lord, that Lord just hover over her. I didn't know whether she was going to live or whether she was going to go to be with her Lord, but I did know this. She needed to hover in the wings of the Lord, needed the presence of the Lord over her. And I want to tell you this morning, that just as much as he knew that sister's needs at that time, and I didn't know exactly what they were, he knows yours this morning. Whatever they are, as you sit in this congregation, you may think, well, nobody knows about me. Nobody knows about my problem. Nobody knows that I want to live close to the Lord. Nobody knows that I want to unite with the church. Nobody knows that I want to do this or that. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven that knows. There's a God in heaven that places that within your heart and soul. I believe the Lord, as he knew Zacchaeus there, he knew what he had placed in his heart and soul. He knew what he had done for him. But I want to remember, as we go to, and I'd like to go to the book of Ecclesiastes for just a minute, and to read a verse of scripture there to let us know what the commandment of the Lord is toward us. And he said in the sixth verse of the 11th chapter of Ecclesiastes, he said, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. In other words, we're to continue to labor, brethren. We don't know whether it's going to be blessed or whether it's going to be good or not. Doesn't give us the right not to sow, and it doesn't give us the right not to go into the fields to labor. I remember oftentimes there may be a lot of things that we go about doing, and we wonder if it's going to have the blessing of the Lord. The Lord says you go on and do it. If it's right to do it, if I've commanded you to do it, you go on and do it, and the blessing comes from the Lord. I believe that's the way it is with a minister coming before congregation of the Lord's people. He don't know whether he'll be blessed in his efforts or not, but he does know this. The Lord's instructed him to teach. He's instructed him to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The important thing of this is that when he preaches, he knows it's of the Lord, and he knows it's not not from himself. He won't get to feeling too big in the world. He won't get to feeling like that he's maybe the best preacher there is, because he knows it comes from the Lord. And every preacher that preaches, it must come from the Lord. So he says that in the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thine hand. I believe we also read where he says here in the beginning, this first verse, cast thy bread upon the waters. And he said, for thou shalt find it after many days. In other words, it may not, the multiplication of it may not be immediate. I've never planted corn in the garden. I've got little corn coming up in the garden about so high. Brother, I didn't expect yesterday morning when I went down there and saw it coming forth from the ground, I didn't expect the multiplication. I got to be patient, hadn't I? And I believe that the Lord's teaching us that his blessings to us is going to be sure and secure, and we need to be patient in the Lord. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thine hand. Because you know, we go back to the book of Luke, because I think sometimes we just we forget how special we are to the Lord. We may be very good at telling our husband and wife how special they are to us, and we may even be pretty good in telling our pastor how much they mean to us, and the pastor may be pretty good telling us as a member of the church how much we mean to them. And we may even be pretty good in telling the Lord just how special we feel that he is to us. But sometimes we sort of forget how special we are to the Lord. And we ought not, because the Bible tells us, and the prophecy of Isaiah teaches us of the love of Christ. When he said, when he prophesied in the book of Isaiah that he was brought as a lamb dumb before his shearers, and so he openeth not his mouth. To let us know that he loved us so much that he was coming into the world, dying upon the cross, wouldn't make any effort to defend himself. Here one, the holiest of holies, dying for the vilest of sinners, wouldn't open his mouth because he loved us with an everlasting love. And do we forget that if the Lord loved us with an everlasting love, sent his son into the world to die for us upon the cross, suffering the great suffering of the cross, even of his father, turning his back upon him when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And think that as we journey through life here in Nashville, Tennessee, that the Lord would forget about us and forget what we need today. That would be a foolish thought, wouldn't it? Let's thank the Lord that we were, grace was treasured in Christ before the world was for us, that he watched over and cared for us during all this time, sent his son into the world, sends his spirit into our heart, borns us of his spirit, and then doesn't know what we need or doesn't watch after us. I want to tell you that every man, woman, or boy, or girl in this church house this morning, God knows your every need. He looks upon you at all times. He tells us, you know, he said, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You know, if you're almost a bald-headed man and you count your hairs every morning, you can't keep up with it because one will fall out during the day. But the Lord knows the very numbers of the hairs of our head. Now, this gets down into minute circumstances. If the Lord knows the numbers of the hairs of our head, don't you know that he knows the needs of the heart and the soul? Don't you know that he knows you need to be uplifted and you need to be encouraged and you need to be fed along the journey of life? Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. He said, you have redeemed not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. If we're of more value than many sparrows, we were purchased by the blood of Christ. Don't you know then that the God in heaven is watching over us? I think that probably one of the the best descriptions of this that we see when he tells us in the book of Deuteronomy about Jacob. He said, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is a lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." Now, whether you consider the apple of the eye as being the most sensitive part of the eye, or whether you sort of look at it like a farm boy like me when I'd see an apple tree and see one apple in the tree, and I did everything, kept my eye upon it until I reached up and grabbed it and began to devour it because it caught my eye. But I believe wherever in the eyes of God, he tells us that we're graven in the palms of his hands, which is the part of yourself that's more often before your eyes. I believe he's teaching us that we're always before the eyes of the Lord. And he said, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat out the increase of the fields, and made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock." But just going on, noticing, here is God, Jacob, representing each of us, teaching us that he not only we're the apple of his eye, but he blesses us and blesses and feeds us and leads us and carries us and protects us as he spreads his wings under us, brother, because we recognize that the many circumstances of life, whether it's of illness or things have come your way, the many times that you felt yourself sinking in despair and felt the loving wings of the Lord as they fluttered under you and carried you out of that. And you said, "A miracle has been accomplished in my life. Praise the Lord, because I couldn't have done it myself." He's teaching us that he careth for us, that we're always before him as Zacchaeus in the sycamore tree. Well, what you and I know is Zacchaeus would not have had to climb up the sycamore tree for the Lord to have noticed him. But you know, did you ever notice he made a big effort? Somehow or another, I believe the Lord blesses us in our efforts, don't you? That is, we do what we feel like from a heart and soul, that we be noticed of the Lord, that we want his smiles and approvals, we want him to look upon us. I believe the Lord is appreciative, because you go over and read the Songs of Solomon, you see what the husband says about this wife. She's special. She's the only one of him, of her, that bear her. And so we're special before the Lord. But you know, the Lord knows what we're involved in, if it's not so special. I always remember that my mother, I would always stand at the door when I would leave, going out in the evening, and she'd say, "Guy, be a good boy." And she'd say, "You know, I can't be there, but God knows everything you do." Well, that just scared me to death. And it ought to. You know, that's a sobering thing, because that's biblical, because the eyes of the Lord are always upon us. I don't believe it's anything we need, and I don't believe it's anything we think or anything we do that the Lord doesn't know about. I believe that's the reason David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer," because he knew the greatness of God. And that not only is he everywhere present, but he's with us. And while he can be in the far and distant lands of Africa, he can be in old Bethlehem this morning, in the midst of that turmoil and death and destruction and war, and be with a little Bethel church in Nashville, Tennessee, with the smallest child, and be leading them and blessing them and hovering over them as a father hovers over his child. This little girl, little sister Cook, that came last night, reminded of some little children that I've baptized into the church. Remember a little girl? She was about 4 years old, and she got up one Sunday morning, and she had about 7 pennies. And she said, "Mama, can I give these to Brother Hunt today?" Mother said, "Why, yes." And Dad wasn't a member of the church, you know, and he thought that looked sweet, sounded sweet, and pulled a dollar out of his pocket. He says, "Honey, if you want to give Brother Hunt something, you can give him this." She looked at him. She says, "No, Daddy. If you want to give him that, give it to him. I want to give him my money." How'd that little girl know the difference? Because the Lord's watching over her. Because the Lord is nurturing that little girl just as much as anyone in the world. Very much present with her. And brother, I tell you, we don't need to overlook our young people. We need to make sure that they know they're just as much a part of the Lord's church as we are. Because the same God that places His love in our hearts and souls is the one that's still touching those little children. I want to tell you something. A lot of folks have said a long time ago, "Old Baptist church is going to soon be extinct." But as long as the Lord's still working on little girls like that one last night, I want to tell you the old church is going on. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Praise be to His holy name. So He knows. You say, "Well, I don't know whether the Lord knows that I'd like to join the church, but I'm timid. I just don't know whether I can do it." Did you not know the Lord knows exactly what you need? And did you not know the Lord who blessed you with a desire to praise and honor and glorify His name? And that is our purpose of life, is to glorify the name of the Lord, who placed in your heart the desire to become a member of the church, knows your needs. And He'll grant them according to the riches of His grace. I didn't know till I stepped out in the aisle that He had blessed me to get all the way up there. But I stepped out with the idea that surely the Lord would take me the rest of the way. When I did that, the Lord made the rest of the way easy, and I believe He will for you. But He also knows when we're in trouble. We don't have to tell Him. He knows. I was an old brother one time. He went up to pray. He was a publican also. He said he could not so much as lift his eyes toward heaven. But he smote upon his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know, the Lord knew exactly what that man was feeling. The Lord knew exactly. But He also knew, on the other hand, what the other fellow was thinking, who came down to pray, a Pharisee. He prayed thus within himself. He looked out and he said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not as other men. I'm even glad I'm not like this poor fellow down here." So, "Well, if I take anything wrongfully, I'll restore it, and I do this and I do that." He got through with it, made it sound to me like he was a pretty good fellow. Made it sound to me like he'd be a pretty good neighbor to live by if he's going to do all those things good. But there was something missing. The Lord blessed that poor old publican who felt the weight of his sins to go away justified rather than the other. To go away with a feeling toward God that you've heard my prayer. Is there anything sweeter than to feel that when we pray to the Lord, that He hears our prayer? "Lord, and it don't take a long prayer. Sometimes we can pray too long, especially if it comes time to eat and children are hungry. I remember back when I was a child that sometimes they'd pray 30 minutes. My older brother told me one time, said, "I learned how to pray. Me and other boys praying that they'd call on old brother Akers to say the prayer. Because he'd say, 'Unto thee, Almighty God, be the praise, honor, and glory forever. Amen.' And said, we'd start to eat." He said, that's when we began to really pray to the Lord. Call on brother Akers for prayer, for food. But you know, I believe the Lord knew those children were hungry that day. I believe the Lord knows all things about us. But you know, Brother Bradley last night mentioned, if we think we're going to get by with something, and boy, I just get the feeling sort of good and sort of big in myself. We can remember that man, rich man, who had many goods. He said, "I'll tear down my barns and build greater barns. Then I'll say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry." In other words, the Lord doesn't know anything about it. The Lord's not responsible for my blessings. I did all of this myself. Lord said, thy fool, this night shall thy soul be required of me. That meant he died. Nebuchadnezzar one time stood up and said, is this not mighty Babylon that I have built? And his reasoning was taken from him, and he ate grass as the animals of the field. Came to the time, he said, the Lord doeth his will. In the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of men, and none can stay his hand. What a wonderful and delightful thought that we have a God like that. We don't have to worry about the devil getting one of his little children. We've got a God that's bigger than all. The God that loved us with an everlasting love, going to carry us home to glory after a while. I've got news for you. He's interested in your welfare here in the world. That's the reason he gave you the church. That's the reason you have the blessing of sitting under the sound of the glorious gospel of God. Because the Lord knows your needs. And he loves you. And he cares for you. Every moment, every hour, every day of your life. And he knows your needs, whether you're little or big or young or old, or rich or poor. David said, O Lord, 139th Psalm, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You talk about a God that we've got. There's not another God like this. You can have all the gods of stone and of wood that there is. And when you cry unto them, they don't hear a thing you say. They don't know a thing that's going on. All that's done, you must do it. But there's a God and a Savior on the right hand of God. The Bible tells us who's appearing in the presence of God for us. And I just sort of break that down a little this morning and say, I've got a Savior who loved me with an everlasting love, who died for me, who's at the right hand of God, appearing in the presence of the Heavenly Father this morning for me. You will understand the closeness I have with God. I know people paint the Savior up as being one that's just sort of with a whip over us looking, seeing if we're going to transgress enough, he's going to have to send us to hell or whatever. But no, this is a loving Savior who wept at the death of Lazarus, who wept when he looked upon and knew the destruction that had come over the city of Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth gather her brood, and you would not. In other words, stubbornness, which is sin. It's what keeps a lot of people out of the church is stubbornness. What keeps a lot of people from following in the footsteps of Jesus is stubbornness. It's sin. David, he said, thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid thine hand upon me. What a delightful thought. Wherever we're raised in life, whether as a boy or girl, as the oldest one, as a baby, whether our mother and daddy lived till we were grown, or whether they today have Alzheimer's, or whether our family has cancer, or someone is in a wheelchair, or whatever, the Lord, the David said, and has laid thine hand upon me. Whatever our circumstances of life, brethren, if the Lord has laid his hand upon us, it's a special way we can bear it. By the grace of God. And then he said, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. See, things in life is too wonderful for me. Precious, delightful children of God that I've lived with and labored among all these years. Buried one this week at my home church, an 82-year-old widow.
When as a young man I began to come before the congregation of the Lord's people, and when I thought I had done such a terrible job, she'd lay my hand in hers and say, "I enjoyed what you said. May the Lord be praised." Oh, such love and such encouragement is too wonderful for me. To enjoy the blessings of the Lord's people, to be among His people, to travel among them, to enjoy their fellowship. At the same time, communion with God is too wonderful for me. I know it has to come by the grace of God. I know I don't deserve it. You know the same, don't you, that you don't deserve it? Because He said it's too wonderful for me. He said it is high. He said I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You remember there was a time when Jonah decided to try to flee from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord knew exactly where he was. Jonah didn't buy his fare, but the Lord knew it. And he knew exactly that little old boat he is on now. They called it a ship back then, but the way we look at it today, it would have been a little boat. You think of all the people in all the world, surely you'd have lost Jonah. But he didn't lose Jonah. He knew exactly where Jonah was. And he was right there. Jonah said, "It's me. I've sinned against my God." He said, "Throw me overboard." They tried to bring the ship to shore and couldn't, and finally cast him overboard. And there was immediate calm. I remember that there was a time when he walked among his disciples, when he was in the depth of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him because there was great turbulence in the wind and the storms. And when he woke, he rebuked the waves and the sea, and there was immediate calm. Brother, I want to tell you, your salvation and your blessings today is in the hands of one that when he speaks, the waves are calm. The wind hears him. I've oftentimes wondered, are we not like that sometimes? We get so afraid as those people on that ship. And yet the Lord was on the ship with them. Shouldn't they have known that no harm was going to come to the ship where the Lord was with them? But they forgot, didn't they? Sometimes we forget. We need to remember in our troubles that the Lord's with us. He said, "If I ascend up unto heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the earth, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Oh, I tell you what, it just gets sweeter and sweeter to think. No matter where, David said, "Where I'm at, you're there. Wherever I'm at, thy hand holds me." Remember that David said, and you become discouraged along the road and wonder if you're going to be able to make another step. Just remember what David said. "He laid his hand upon me." I believe I'm talking to a group of people today that's had the hand of the Lord laid upon them. I believe from the standpoint of the blessings of the Spirit of God, the borning of His Spirit, but I believe you have even more than that. I believe you have the blessings as you journey along. And the sea gets turbulent. I believe you have felt the hand of the Lord upon you. I remember going to the hospital one evening in Birmingham, having prayer with an old brother. He was fixing to have bypass surgery the next day. And I didn't think surely my prayers would mean very much. But I went and prayed, and later, when he recuperated, he says, "You know," said, "I was a little bit afraid until Brother Hunt came and offered that prayer. And said, I felt the calmness and relief. It wasn't from the words I said. I believe the Lord laid his hand upon him to calm him in a troubled time of his life." And may we remember that the Lord's eyes are always upon us, and that whatever our trouble of life, as most of you know, that Helen and I have gone through a great deal of trouble and sorrow in life, but it seemed like that surely we would be overcome, But I remember some of my friends said later, I've never seen a people that stuck by you like the Primitive Baptists. And I want to tell them that there's never been a God that stuck with his children like this God. There's no other God like him. Let's praise and honor and glorify his name, which is our purpose of life while we live. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.